Hey, this is Rob Ansbach, and welcome to eHeroes. This is a special time. I mean, this is episode 400. I never thought I'd be here, honestly. When I started this podcast back in 2018, I thought I'd record a few episodes. People would love it. Maybe I'd do a few more, you know, but time went on. Now we're here at 400, and I want to bring on a really good friend of mine, and he's been on the podcast before, but we're going to talk about, is podcasting still relevant? Yeah, this is the 400th episode. So for me, it's still relevant. But for others, who knows? But I want to introduce you guys to Tom Schwab. Again, he's been on the podcast before. Go back to episode 328 or way back in episode 52. But thank you for being here. And you know, I want to explain to a lot of people that I started this podcast because I got motivated to share my experience with others. And I wanted to bring on eclectic entrepreneurs who were, I thought, would help, you know, other entrepreneurs, you know, with their intuition, with their marketing, with whatever skill set I thought was relevant. And, you know, I kind of gotten, at the time, 2018, it was a year after I had co-authored a book with Heather Havenwood called Power Guesting. And I had been on podcasts before, but my nose is itching. That's the fun thing about podcasting. Stuff happens. But I wrote this book called Power Guesting with Heather. She had been on all these podcasts. I had only been on a few. And I thought, yeah, this book's going to change the world. But the thing was, to me, it wasn't authentic because I didn't have my own podcast. And so I had to start a podcast. I had to show the world that, yes, not only did I write the book, I have a podcast. You know, never did I think that 400 episodes later, I'd still be doing it.
Well, it's kudos to you, right? 80% of podcasts die within the first 10 episodes, right? It's really easy today to start a podcast, but to keep it going, you know, most people die within that first 10 episodes and life gets in the way. So to keep showing up after 400 episodes, that is amazing. And all the amazing things that come out of this, because we did not know each other before episode one. It wasn't until you started the podcast, and it was my bride, said, Rob Ansbach, I know him. And I'm like, how do you know him? Oh, well, you know, went to school together. He married one of my friends from growing up. And it's just amazing that connection that podcasting can make. So you say, is it still relevant today? Yeah, it's still relevant and in so many different ways. And too many people will come back and say, well, you know, what's the download or the index or whatever? It's like sometimes it's the serendipity that comes from that. When people recognize your voice, the connections you make. You know, heck, when we started, 8 years ago for you, for me, it's 11 now when we started Interview Valet. AI, nobody knew what that was. Mm-hmm. And today we've got people that come to us and say, well, I want to do a podcast or be a guest because AI indexes those, right? If you want to get recommended through AI, one of the easiest and best ways you can do that is through, it's called share a voice and sentiment, right? Mm-hmm. So get out there, be talking on podcasts. And the funny part is going back to that guesting thing. It's this idea of it doesn't matter what I say about me on my platform, right? It's what other people say about me. Mm-hmm. And so going out onto other people's platforms can be a powerful signal there, right, of authority and, you know, the reputation. And heck, I'd been guesting for probably 7 years before I started my own podcast. And,
you know, one of the things that I get a lot, you know, from people is, oh, Rob, you must be making bank. You got all these episodes. And truth be told, I've made a whopping $300. And I'm like, what? You have 400 episodes and you made 300. And look, this podcast was never designed to be a money-making, you know, venture. It was more of me having this passion that I wanted to educate other entrepreneurs. Now, one of the early people that I did interview sold a course to somebody via this podcast. And he thought, you know what, I'm just going to send Rob a check for $300 and thank him for the time that I was on the podcast. I don't ask anybody to pay me for their time on the podcast. That's not what this podcast is about. You know, I know that there's a lot of podcasts out there that charge to be on the podcast, charge to be, you know, guest charged. They charge for everything. That was never my objective. And so, no, I, you know, if you're thinking I'm making a lot of money because I have all these episodes, you're wrong. But here's the thing is that, you know, and I'm sure Tom will agree, it's the exposure, the longevity, the authority, the credibility that you gain from being on these podcasts that people will hire you to consult or, you know, do SEO or whatever your skill set is. And that in return could be the moneymaker. But podcasts alone, for me, no.
We've had three clients that have come back to us in what 11 years and said when they did their exit from their company, the person that bought them, two of them were PE firms, they said the multiple was higher because they had such exposure out there on podcasts. And it's like they wanted to buy the category leader. And they said when they started to look at that, there was no doubt that you had that share of voice. You were the one that was known in there. And so it's those little things that can impact that. I think too often today we get short-sighted and it's like, well, how do I make a penny on this, right? How do I make a penny on the click? And, you know, if you made $300 on 400 episodes, Rob, just think, you know, if you would do 40,000 episodes, right, how much you'd make. And it's like the numbers don't always work that way, but it's that serendipity of if you have that relationship capital and the reputational capital where people know you, good things come from that.
Well, and the thing is that some of these episodes that I've interviewed people have gone into their books. So, you know, in the books that I've produced for other people, they say, Rob, you know, that interview that you do with me, put it in the book because it adds credibility. So now they got the transcript in the book and people are showing up and they're reading the book. They're subscribing to the podcast because they want to know more. They want more. And, you know, Steve Gamlin, who was on the podcast more than anybody else, we turned all his episodes into a book called Unscripted, Unfiltered, Unwoo-woo, and Unguru. And people are like, well, that's a weird title, but it pulls you in. And mm-hmm. So you get this book, you're reading the transcripts. Sure, they could pull up the episodes, you know, and read them for free. But a lot of times people want a self-contained product that they can just carry with them. And so the podcasts become books. We have clients that say, hey, Rob, you know, and they do shorter episodes, 5-6 minutes. So we'll turn 52 episodes into a book. And we have one client, we're working on his 8th volume. So 8 years of podcasts, every year it becomes a book. And his clients love it because, you know, some of them are maybe impaired. They can't hear, but they can read. They got something physical that they can pick up and browse through. And so I think podcasts are still relevant because the information that you glean from these is, it goes beyond knowledge. It goes beyond legacy too, you know. But like you said, people give up. They don't want to do it after 2 or 3 episodes.
Well, maybe we're just stubborn, but it's interesting. We live in such a great time where we can create in the way that's easiest for us. And then repurpose in the way that's easiest for other people, right? I've written blogs in my life. Every one of them felt like a homework assignment, but I'll talk, right? And this idea where we can transcribe it, we can, you know, turn it into a book. It's amazing all that you can get from one conversation. And I was in Texas, it was the spring of 2026 here, and I was talking with the gentleman that he used to work for a government agency, the NSA, and he was the one that was telling me that AI now is not only reading the text, but as it goes multimodal, they're listening to it. Mm-hmm. They're watching it. And I never thought about that, but he's like, you can get so much more from hearing somebody, right? Mm-hmm. Hearing the conversation. And so he said that richness there, you know, yeah, some people will just want to read the book. Other ones will want to hear the author read the book. Other ones will just, hey, let me listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm. And what an amazing time today that, you know, we can do all of those through technology.
I think it's so much easier now in today's day and age to set up a podcast versus 8 or 9 years ago. When I set up eHeroes, I had a dedicated website and I put all the content on that website and then send the RSS feed out. And here's the problem with that is that sometimes in the middle of the month, I'll run out of bandwidth. I got to buy more bandwidth from my hosting company. You know, so now there's companies that just do that for a monthly fee, but you stop paying the monthly fee and then all your podcasts disappear. So,
well, and that's probably why people give up too, right? When you started, it was a whole lot of work to get it going. You didn't stop after 2 weeks. And it kept going through there. So sometimes when things are so easy, they're easy to start, but they're also easy to give up. I think of one of my mentors, Dan Miller from 48 Days, The Work You Love. He always said, if you're not going to do something for a year, don't even start it. And I remember him saying that, and I'm like, I don't know that I'm going to do this for a year, but early on, I would do a shout out for different podcasts, right? I do a video shout out and I recorded, I think it was 90 of those and scheduled them all and everything. I thought this is going to be revolutionary. Well, I got to about day 80 and never heard anything back. And I thought, I'm not recording any more of these. It was a test. We tried it for a quarter. And then I was at a meeting. And there were all kinds of podcasters coming up and saying, hey, thank you for doing that for me. Or somebody else would come up and say, could you do this for me? Mm-hmm. And if I would have stopped at, I don't know, 60 days, I don't know if I'd get that same response. I still remember coming back and I think I had 3 or 4 days left in queue. And I'm like, oh, now I got to keep this going. And we did that for the better part of 2 years. And it was just a nice way to share some podcasts that really meant a whole lot to me.
Well, you know, over the years, I've had my doubts too. In fact, I think it was episode 33. I had stopped for probably 6 months because I didn't think anybody was listening. And then all of a sudden people are like, Rob, haven't seen your podcast. Haven't heard it. What's going on? Are you still doing it? Huh? People are listening.
Somebody is listening.
So, you know, I started recording again. But I did things a little differently, and I think as you learn to podcast or to do anything in life, you know, for a podcast, a lot of times it's you record and then you got to do the editing and do this and do that, and you spend some time. So I started learning shortcuts. I started batch recording. I started getting all this stuff prepared so that I'd always have something in the mix, ready to go. You know, all I had to do is quickly edit, pop it up, it was done, and I could forget about it for a couple weeks. You know, and that made podcasting a lot easier for me because you try to do week to week to week and people cancel. And then you're like, okay, what do I do now? I have an hour, you know, and but then you go off and do something else and you forget about your podcast. So you have to create systems around your podcast to make sure that things stick and you're motivated to keep doing it.
Isn't it's sort of that same thing throughout life, right? In business, it's that consistency. It's the systems, right? You don't get anything going to the gym, once a month when you feel like it. Not that I go to the gym once a month when I feel like it, but you know, it's like this idea of there's got to be that rhythm of this is what I do, right? And once you get into it, you're not going to see the results the first time or the second time, but you do it long enough. I remember being in a plane one time and somebody came up as we were getting off the plane and they looked at me and said, "Are you Tom Schwab?" And my first thought was, "Are you a process server?" You know? And I said, "Yes, I am." He's like, "I recognize your voice." And I thought, wow, that's amazing. Because, you know, if it was just a fun family trip, I probably wasn't dressed the same way I am for business. But, you know, no matter if I've got a beard, don't have a beard, how much gray hair I have, the voice still sounds the same. And that people recognize that and they trust it too.
So, you know, let's go back in time when you started Interview Ballet. What was your thinking?
It really started out where our last business, we had built it up all through guest blogging, right? Mm-hmm. Company was HubSpot's first e-commerce case study. And we built it up, sold it off, and people said, "Well, how'd you do that?" And I'm like, just tapping into other people's audiences, right? Mm-hmm. We use guest blogs, but by 2014, blogs weren't working anymore.
Oh, they're back to working again because of AI.
Right. But at that time, they were dying off some. And so I hypothesized, I bet you could use podcast interviews. Mm-hmm. And so tested that with some friends that were in a mastermind. It worked great. I wrote a cheesy little PDF that I was giving away. I did a course, Rob, that I never took out of beta because people weren't getting results with it. And the people that were honest said, "Listen, I just want to be the guest. You take care of all the rest." Mm-hmm. So that's what launched Interview Valet. In that first few years, I'd be so excited and give my elevator pitch. And people would look at me and say, "What's a podcast?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm too early." But, you know, 2018, podcasting took off. COVID helped as more people. And then about 2024, there was no doubt that AI is listening to podcasts now. Yeah. So it's like every time it's sort of the heyday of podcasting. The thing that I'm most amazed by is that they still call it podcasting. Because, you know, when it first started out, it was a broadcast on an iPod. And now most of the people have no idea what an iPod is. And somehow the name still stuck.
Yeah. You know, and things have gotten a lot easier to produce a podcast, especially with AI. I mean, in the background, there's an AI listening and transcribing the whole thing now as you know, I interview people, which makes it so much easier. I used to have to pay for all that. We'd have to pay for, you know, editing and it's just, sometimes you simplify things so much now. I'm like, wow, it only took me less than an hour to get this thing up and ready. And I think sometimes people, they think, "Oh, I'm just going to interview people." And then they get to the back end stuff where they got to actually produce it. "Oh, this is too hard. I don't want to do this."
Yeah. It's Rabbi Daniel Lappin introduced me to this concept. And I always refer to him as my rabbi, which always blows people's mind. They're like, "I didn't know you were Jewish." I'm not, but I've got a rabbi. You should too. But he talked about the difference between an amateur and a professional, right? Amateur comes from the Latin word to love, right? You do it because you love to do it, right? So amateur golfers, I go out when the weather is nice, when there's no rain, all the rest of that. Professionals, they show up day in and day out, right? Because it's what they do, right? And so many times with podcasting, if you just show up and want to do the fun part, or you just show up when you feel like it, you'll never get traction. Sort of like that Zig Ziglar story that he talks about, you know, the person that got so lucky because they just stood there and kept pumping the well, mm-hmm. and they got all the water. But the person that was unlucky and that had come up and give it two pumps of the well and then go away and then another two pumps, it never worked for them. So mm-hmm. I think that that's a lot of people that are amateurs that just do it for the love. They start out and then they fade out really quickly. Mm-hmm. So kudos to the professionals that show up even when they don't feel like it.
You know, I guess not a lot, but I do get on occasion people will say, are the questions scripted? No, it's just a conversation. And I like it that way because I've been on podcasts before where they'll give you a list of questions that they're going to answer. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want that. Because now I'm going to prep my answers based on that. And I'm just, in my mind, I'm going to wait for them to throw those questions out. And then I'm going to ramble really quickly because I want to get to the next one. You know, our brains don't work that way. Just have a conversation with people. And so I've had a lot of guests on my podcast that were nervous, you know, and I tell them, I said, look, we're just going to have a conversation. And I think that helps them relax a little bit because it's not going to be challenging. There's not going to be a lot of questions where they're going to have to solve math or you know, delve into their personal. Most people don't care about your personal background. They care about the experience that you're going to deliver, being whether a marketer or a podcaster or publisher or whatever your skill set is.
Yeah, it's the whole word interview is almost a misnomer because it's not an interview. You don't have 10 questions. You're not interviewing me to be the new busboy at Denny's, right? Where every person gets the same ones. And when podcasting first started out, it was like that. And some of those interviews were so painful. It was like watching 1950s television, right? Did people actually watch this? And you're right. They would give you a list of questions. And no matter how you answered that question, right? If you answered, you know, I killed John Lennon, they would come back with, oh, that's great, and go on to the next question. And it really, it's more of a conversation. And one of the things we've seen is that of our clients, 2/3 of them are introverts, right? They have better conversations one-on-one. So that's one of the things I always tell people. It's just a conversation. You know, you're not going to ask me my opinions on macroeconomic policies because I don't have opinions. And if I did, no one would care about them. And that's not why I'm here.
And I almost died on this episode. That's what me coughing in the background. I waterboarded myself with my iced tea. But, you know, these are the things that happen live when you do podcasts. You know, I tell people, I don't edit. So you're going to get the full expressions. You're going to get the mess ups. You're going to get the hair in my nose or whatever happens. You know, this is not a polished thing. And I want people to understand that your podcast doesn't have to be, you know, super edited. It doesn't need to be, you know, the lighting has to be perfect or the microphone has to be perfect. You're just having a conversation with a real person and life happens. And so, yes, you're going to get coughs. You're going to get, you know, all kinds of things that might happen. That's the glory of real, raw podcasting. And I understand that there's people out there that they, oh, but Rob, my image, I can't do that. Why? Oh, but I have to have perfect hair. Look, if you got to spend 6 hours to prep to get on a podcast, maybe that is not for you.
I would push back on that from the standpoint of there's this idea of proof of life today, right? In marketing. And there's certain times where we watch a video or we hear something and it's like, that's too good to be human, mm-hmm. right? Rob never blinks, right? All the rest of that. It's like, no, that's a AI clone or something. Or even, if you look at, you know, AI generated things, they don't have the ums and the uhs.
Right.
And so I think people pick up that really quickly. It's like, is this human or not? And I warn people that don't take all the filler words out. Now, some people will spend hours removing all of those from an interview. And it's like, why? That was the interview. That was the conversation. You proved that you were human there. If somebody doesn't like the way I say right too many times, well, they're not going to like working with me because I'm not going to be able to filter it out every time I talk with you, right? So might as well just get used to it.
Yeah, it's you know, but I've met some really phenomenal people over the last 400 episodes, you included, you know, and my wife and I have had lunch with you and your wife, and it's just great sometimes to meet offline, you know, in a restaurant, having a cup of coffee or having, you know, lunch or dinner, because you get to meet the person in real life. And I've only had that occasion, I would say, about a dozen times, you know, meeting the people in real life. And so you develop these friendships. And I follow about 95% of the people that have been on this podcast. Some, I'm going to tell you right now, the last 5% are Looney Tunes. I don't ever want to see them ever again in my life. But I'm not going to go back and take their podcast down, because the interview was brilliant. The information that they had in there could help somebody. And I stress this a lot because I've seen people interview others and weeks go by and they're like, oh, well, they pissed me off. I'm taking their interview down. Why? It's still good content.
Yeah.
Just because think that they've gone off the deep end, maybe they have personally, but that interview still should be part of your podcast inventory.
My best podcasting story ever, and something that there's no ROI on it, but it was more valuable than anything. Years ago, there was a very sick and evil man that went through Kalamazoo and killed about, I think it was 10 people one night, right? Wow. On a Saturday night, I wake up in the morning and Karen, my wife, is downstairs watching television on this. And I had no idea what was going on, but I looked at my phone and I'm getting all these texts from people that I know through podcasting, right? I'd been on their show, something like that. And it's all these people saying, praying for you and your family. Hope you're okay. Praying for your community, right? They remembered that I was from Kalamazoo. And I was scrolling through my phone thinking, what are they talking about? It wasn't until I went downstairs and saw, oh, wow, there was a mass shooting 4 miles from the house. And that people that had never met me in my life, right, but we had known each other through podcasting, thought enough on a Sunday morning to reach out with their thoughts and their wishes, right? It wasn't until like Sunday afternoon that I started to hear from family, so I thought, wow, that is something. These people have never met me, but we know each other through podcasting. And I think that's just a testament to the relationships that you can make through this medium.
Yeah. You know, and I don't select a lot of people that are millionaires, billionaires. There might be a few on the show, but I try to get people on the podcast that I think have something to share, and you know, or they just don't get the exposure that they deserve. And so, you know, my job as a podcast host is to bring their stories out. Because I see something in them. And I've only had a few people over the years that will say, Rob, no, it's not for me. Or I want the questions up front. No, I don't do that. They want to know my numbers. I'm like, I don't do this for numbers. I do this to, you know, and they want all this. And I'm like, no, if you want to get your story out there, come on, I'll interview you. But if you want all these other things, go away.
We, over the last 11 years, we've worked with a lot of clients. I can think of one was a bank, right? Publicly traded bank. And we didn't work with them long just because they didn't understand the medium.
Yeah.
Because they started with, well, we need to know the questions beforehand. We need to have the editorial things to edit the entire conversation before it gets released, right? We want to know the numbers, all the rest of this. And I'm like, this is not the medium, right? If you want to do that, go on radio or go on television. This is a conversation that you share with people, right? They're not going to ask you gotcha questions, but also you are a guest in their house. You don't get to come in and say, well, no, I get to approve everything before it's served. No, that's being rude. And sometimes people will say, what's it take to be a great podcast guest? And I'm like, just drop the word podcast, right? Put yourself there being a guest. Show up on time. Be prepared. Say thank you afterwards, right? And how do you do that as a podcaster? Promote the episode, right? Tag the host. All of those things. It's like, be human.
Yeah, and I discourage people from... Well, I discourage people a lot just because I'm sarcastic. No, but they'll come to me and say, Rob, I want to be the next Joe Rogan. I'm like, good for you, but it's not happening. And I, you know, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but Joe Rogan took a long time to be Joe Rogan. You know, and he was on the TV show, what was it called?
Fear Factor.
News Radio back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so he already had a reputation before he became a podcaster. You know, what are you going to do as a podcaster that's different than what Joe Rogan's doing? That's going to make you stand out. It's going to make you, people are going to say, well, I want to be on that show. So I don't want you to be the next Joe Rogan. I want you to be the next you, because that's your strength. Yeah, if you want to be Joe Rogan, that's fine, but it's going to take a lot of money that you don't have to get to that level of commitment that he's put into it over the last couple decades now.
Yeah, and then everybody will know you as, oh, you're the next Joe Rogan. Well, I'd rather be known as the Tom Schwab, right? This whole idea of, I don't want to compete, and I want to set the own rules of my game. And I think a lot of times, you know, Joe Rogan is Joe Rogan because there was nobody like him before. Right. You know, nobody said, oh, Joe Rogan, he's like the next Johnny Carson. No, there's no connection between the two of those, right? They were both big in their time, but Joe Rogan didn't become who he is trying to be someone else. And the other thing too is, we always ask people, well, why do you want to do this? And one of our clients helped us see this, right? A guy by the name of Eddie Yoon wrote a great book called Super Consumers. And he said, the world is filled with missionaries and mercenaries, right? And the missionaries are the ones that were there at the beginning, they'll be there at the end. They're doing it because they love it and they believe in it. And then you've got the mercenaries that are there because they want quick fame or fortune. And these are the ones where you see they went from being DEI experts to crypto experts. Today, they're AI experts, right? They're always jumping at that next thing, and they never get that the traction with that. So I always look at it as there's plenty of mercenaries out in the world, right? Be a missionary. What do you believe in? What do you want to do for the next decade, and set your sights on that, because there's a lot less competition at that area, and in my mind, it's a lot more fun. You're not competing with other people. You're becoming who you were meant to be.
Well, you know, it's 400 episodes. It's for me. It's this has been 8 years since 2018. Now, are there a lot of people that have more podcast episodes than me? Of course. but there's probably, you know, hundreds, thousands, millions of people that have tried it, gave up, and I'm still going. Now, what I do encourage people to do, get in front of the camera, get in front of we all have these cell phones, start recording. You know, whether it be a couple minutes, whether it be, you know, a half hour, if you want to do it by yourself or you want to, you know, interview other people, just do it. You're going to get better as you do it. You know, if you go back to episode 1, 2, 20, 100, you know, I can't say I'm a smooth talker now, but I was a little bit more confident now than I am back then. So you will get better. You will get better at timing, interviews, picking up, you know, questions that you want to ask. You know, this is not something that you do for 20 episodes and give up because it's not working. This is something that you do and strive to do at least 100 episodes before you get better.
And you will get better. And like you said before, where somebody's like, well, I want to be, my hair look perfect, my voice look perfect. It won't, right? And the worst interview you do, the worst podcast episode you ever do will be the first one, right? Let's say the first time you name it, right? First time you drove was the worst time. First time you played golf, whatever. First time you shot a basketball. But you get better and better with that. And I think especially, I'll speak to myself here, as we get older, there's fewer things that we do for the first time. And it's really easy to say, well, no, I don't do that, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't have that growth and the beginner's mindset from that. And so, you know, people say, well, you know, I don't know if I could do a podcast interview. Trust me, you've been practicing this for decades, right? You've been talking with people, all the rest of that. Now all you need to do is add some things onto that.
But what I'm seeing, though, in this new generation that's coming on board is they don't own assets. They don't do a podcast. They don't do a website. They put all their information on social media. You know, they might be pumping out a lot of content. They might put out a lot of videos. But when AI starts to index all this stuff, they're looking at multiple assets that you have. They're looking at your website. They're looking at your blogs and what people are saying. And they're looking at your interviews and, you know, how you're conducting yourself. They're not just searching on LinkedIn or Facebook or, you know, X. They want to see that you're, you know, bigger, that you have authority, credibility. And I look at this new generation of entrepreneurs, and it's like, okay, what happens if Facebook goes away? You've lost a platform. What happens if social media kicks you off for some reason because you said something? You've lost another platform. With podcasting, you're out there. With a website, you're out there. With blogging, you're out there. And those are assets that you control.
It's interesting because I've said this before that I think my grandfather, God rest his soul, would be able to use the internet today better than my kids, right? He wouldn't understand it, but he would understand how to use it. And this idea, so many times we get the shiny object syndrome, right? Oh, I've got to go on this platform now, or I've got to do this viral dance or something like that. And I could see my grandfather, you know, saying, well, how do you use it, right? Oh, okay. So, you know, instead of throwing the party, you can just host a podcast, or instead of writing the op-ed for the newspaper, you can put it on your blog. Instead of going to talk at the Chamber of Commerce, I could guest on a podcast. He would be all over that because he would understand the strategy behind it, even if he didn't understand the tactics. And the tactics are always going to change. You know, what I learned from the military is that tactics have a shelf life, right? What worked today is not going to work tomorrow, right? I don't care how much you're in love with it. It's going to evolve, right? The people that still say, oh, podcasts have to be just audio only, and you can't put them on anything but an RSS feed, and you can't clip it, you can't do video, whatever. It's like, no, that's a purest form. That's what they were 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's evolved. But I think if you focus on the strategy, right? What am I trying to do? Right? I'm trying to have a conversation with people that could be ideal clients. I'm trying to make sure that they, when they know me, they can figure out if I'm the right person for them. And, you know, that's what my grandfather used to do when he would go talk at the Chamber of Commerce, right? And it's the same thing that you're doing right now on the podcast, and AI is listening. It's like, huh, should I recommend Rob for this person that's looking to launch a great book, right? And they're going to go through and see everything in the body of work that you've got out there. And it's interesting. They've got the like the AI bots now. They're amazing. I don't know if you've seen them. Delphi.ai is the one that I've seen the most. And you put all the work in there, and you can actually like talk with them and either chat, or you can get the actual voice. And one of our clients put all of his work up there. And I remember over a holiday, I went for a walk and I was talking to Al Ramadan, right? And getting all this great advice. And every now and then I'd ask him a question about sailing, and because he's a big sailor too. And he'd say, I'm sorry, I'm Al's bot. I haven't been trained on that. But we did all these things through category design. And I asked him afterwards, I said, how are you going to monetize this? And he's like, not everything needs to be monetized, right? If somebody wants to work with me, you're talking $250,000 for category design. He's like, this is out there to help the entrepreneurs. And it's amazing. All of his books, all of his talks, everything's in there. The gentleman has sort of become immortal with that. And also the impact that he's having, right? I knew he wouldn't have enough time to talk with me over a holiday for an hour. But you know what? I could talk with his bot and get amazing value from that. And I think that's just an amazing thing that we've got today.
My personal opinion that I like to share with people is that AI is a tool. It's a very great tool. And yes, it can create you an avatar that looks like you, that sounds like you, that acts like you, but it's not you.
No.
And you know, the fastest way to build trust with your audience, get on these podcasts, let people see who you are in the real raw fashion that they deserve, and not some avatar that claims to be you. I see a lot of these marketers, see a lot of these videos out there. They'll say, we'll make you a better marketer. We'll make you into an avatar. We'll do this. But it's not you. You are your greatest marketing tool. Go out there, shine your personality out there. Let people trust you, not your avatar.
And it's not the tool. It's the tool amplifies your brilliance or your ignorance. And I always think about the winter that Dan Miller had an artist come in and took a chainsaw and carved a dead tree that had been struck by lightning. And he got this great eagle out of it. It's a work of art. That same winter, I almost cut my leg off with the chainsaw, right? Are chainsaws good or bad? I'll tell you what, they'll amplify the brilliance or ignorance of the user. And so it's the same thing. If you're a bad marketer, you can do bad marketing on steroids right now, mm-hmm. right? If you're a good marketer, you can creatively impact people better on that. But it's not on the tool. It's not on the chainsaw, right? You just don't need a bigger chainsaw, or you don't need the next version of whatever AI comes out.
So how do people find you? Where do they go?
You know, the easiest way to find me is just go back to interviewvalet.com. And I'll put a special page up there, just interviewvalet.com/eheroes. And I'll put all my social media up there. You can connect with me. I've written a bunch of books. You can find them on Amazon, or you can download them there. But if there's any way I can
who
help with
books
you
anymore, says the guy who produced 70 of them.
Oh, there's lots of people that read the books, and I read them all once when I make the Audible version of it.
Yeah, so all of that will be back there. I need to get back into it. I know people are like, Rob, your books aren't on audio. Yeah, you know, I do podcasts all day long. I don't want to do it on an audio book. But yeah, more and more people just don't have time to read. They want to listen. And that's the thing about the beauty about podcasting is they can take podcast episodes anywhere.
Yeah,
it's just, so, you know, everybody listening, go visit Tom over at interviewvalet.com. Whether you use /eHeroes or not, I want you to connect with Tom. Not so much on Facebook, but on his website. You know, here's the thing about Facebook that I've kind of have this love-hate relationship with. It's just your marketing message is never, it's not getting out there to the people that you really want to see. They've restricted viewership so much that it's probably half of 1% of people seeing me. You know, and so I have to push out more content. I have to, you know, and I spread it across LinkedIn and Instagram. I'm getting more people from Instagram seeing my videos from my podcasts, the Instagram or LinkedIn as well. And but you have to understand your market, your audience, you know, who's going to listen to your podcast. But the thing is that a lot of ideas that I have of who's listening may be different from the actual people that are listening. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to gear my podcast to the next generation because I wanted to teach them, you know, more stuff. But what I've been discovering is that the people who are actually listening are my age. You know, and I'm like, okay, I'm cool with that. And for those that need to know, I'm 57 this year. So, am I attracting the right audience? I'm attracting people that really want to listen. So that's good. Yeah. So any wise words that you want to leave?
Oh. Wise words.
Or no words.
One of the big themes that I have is what's ordinary to you is amazing to others. I've learned this throughout my entire life. We often underestimate what we know and overestimate what other people know, right? The person that knows third grade math can help the second grader more than the PhD in mathematics. So I always encourage people, right? We're blessed to be a blessing. Share what you know. And one of the things I sign off a lot of emails with is stay strong. The world needs to hear you now more than ever. I do that to encourage other people, but also to remind myself.
There you go. Stay strong, everyone. And we'll see you guys on the next episode. Adios.